Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Mother takes religious freedom case to the Maine Supreme Court. We're going to be talking about this case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is really a tragic, sad situation of a custody battle, so to speak, of two parents. They're not married, but the father is taking control of the child from a religious freedom aspect.
Yeah, certainly divorce and custody issues are terrible situations in many cases anyway. But this one here, they've never been married. You have a single mom who has an 11-year-old daughter, and they were not married, but there is a custody agreement that they have, visitation agreement between the two. And so the mother wants to start attending Calvary Chapel Church in Maine. And she takes her daughter there, and the daughter wants to get baptized, and the mother wants to have her baptized.
And granted, the daughter's 11 years old, so she understands what's going on.
Yeah, she understands what's going on. And by the way, we've done programs before regarding this 4 to 14 window, and that 4 to 14 is ages 4 through 14, very critical time.
Yes.
Child Evangelism Fellowship that does the Good News Clubs that we represent really focus a lot on that 4 to 14 window.
And sharing the gospel with them.
Sharing the gospel,
yeah.
Is so very important. So this girl falls right within that typical 4 to 14 window. It's so incredibly important in their lives, particularly for sharing the gospel and making a decision for Christ. So in this particular case, the mom wants to attend Calvary Chapel Church in Maine, in Portland, actually. And she wants to take her daughter there, and the daughter wants to be baptized. So the father now gets upset. He does not want his daughter to go to an evangelical Christian church. So he hires this so-called quote-unquote expert, I use that in quotes, a sociologist from California who's a Marxist in much of her ideology.
An expert on cults?
So-called expert on cults.
Wow.
And he brings her as a witness to the judge, and this is presented in court before the judge regarding this issue. And the so-called expert says that, well, this particular church, they do the Bible, and they teach the Bible, quote, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. That's a quote. Including teaching the Bible's descriptions of hell, demons, and spiritual warfare. And so this sociology professor then tries to convince the judge, and the judge buys it, that taking the daughter to this evangelical church that teaches the Bible verse by verse, that teaches about a transcendent belief system, and that teaches about promises of some sort of salvation, that would be psychologically harmful to the child. And so the judge buys that craziness and issues an order saying that you can't take this child to this church because it would be psychologically harmful to this daughter, this 11-year-old girl, and gives the father an absolute veto authority over where this child can go to church and whether she could be baptized. So if this father says no church anywhere, no baptism ever, then the judge has empowered this anti-faith position under court order. And this judge, by the way, I've never seen an order quite like this. Every time the judge's order references God, the judge puts God in lowercase. That really, I think, telegraphs something.
Mm-hmm.
It telegraphs that there's not just one God, that it's quote-unquote God in lowercase.
But, you know, my question is, did the mother not have anyone to testify on her behalf? Did she not ask the pastor of the church or anyone else to talk about what's really been shared in the church, the gospel, and what it's really about?
Well, the judge actually in the order says that the pastor is authoritarian in the sense that he is very clear about what the Bible says.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
And
yeah.
When you're talking about authoritarian, the context of the order is not that you're like lording it over people.
No.
But
you're sharing the
you're
truth.
You're sure of your position.
Exactly. You're sharing the truth.
You're sure of your position, that Christ died for our sins, that he rose again on the third day, that there is a promise of eternal life, that there's promise of heaven, that there is hell. He's very convinced of that because that's what the Bible says. And that is being turned into the fact that he's quote-unquote authoritarian because he's very, very convinced in his biblical views.
And you know that I'm sure it bothered the judge and the father that the pastor is actually speaking about hell and demons and spiritual warfare, of which the Bible talks about.
Yeah, the Bible talks about
it's real.
Hell, spiritual warfare and demons. It talks about eternal life. It talks about a plan of salvation. The so-called experts said that you usually have somebody who is a leader of a cult that's a charismatic authoritarian leader who teaches about a transcendent belief system. That's kind of what she said. That's generally the description. Well, if you use that as a criteria for a quote-unquote cult, then every religion really is a cult. If you have somebody who's charismatic, who's authoritarian, and they teach about a transcendent belief system, that sounds like a lot of typical Orthodox Christianity. Mm-hmm. If you have someone who really believes in the Bible, and you know they are animated in their presentation, and they believe in a transcendent belief system, that there's a higher power, that there's a higher existence, that we're not here alone, that we were created by God in his image, I mean, and that offers and promises some sort of salvation, that kind of description applies broadly. And so that's why Liberty Counsel has agreed to get involved in this case. We don't do very many of these kinds of custody battles because we would be inundated by just the general run-of-the-mill type of custody situation. There's a lot of people in private practice that do those kinds of activities and representation, and we'll help in constitutional components of it. This particular case, though, cries out for our involvement in the case. Why? Because of the significant religious freedom implications that it raises.
Right, absolutely. And again, you know, it's just important to remember, when you're talking about Christianity, the object of your faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, is whom we follow. The pastor is a messenger of that truth. When you have an actual cult, that leader of that cult wants you to follow that person, not God. So there's a difference there. So they're not differentiating what's going on because they don't see the truth of the gospel.
Yeah, the pastor prayed a public prayer regarding the custody situation. And so the judge used that prayer, which referenced spiritual warfare and putting the father on the side of evil and the mother on the side of good in the daughter's eyes. That's what she said. That's what the prayer did, that it put the father in a evil light and the mother in a good light because the pastor prayed and referenced spiritual warfare. So relying upon this so-called expert, the court order states that the church is, quote, psychologically detrimental to the girl. And the court decided that the remedy was giving the father the sole authority to make, quote, final decisions, close quote, regarding the girl's religious instruction. Specifically, the order allows the father to deny the daughter access to Calvary Chapel's church services, events, messages, or anything else associated with it. The order also gives the father sole control over the daughter's participation in any other churches, even during the mother's custodial time. So even when this mother is there with the child, he has final and ultimate authority and control.
But you know, Matt, the ultimate goal, and I really question that pastor, the prayer, because the pastor, the ultimate goal would be for the father to come to salvation, for everyone to know the Lord. So I really doubt that he would do that.
Well,
but
it's their spin on it.
Yeah,
it's their
exactly,
spin on it,
and their perception. But
you know, even if you have a transcendent belief system, all of a sudden they convert that into something awful. You believe in demons. You believe in some plan of salvation. All of a sudden,
right,
they convert that to awful. So with the pastor praying and mentioning spiritual warfare. Obviously, I think that's what's happening here. The future of this girl's life and eternally right. is at stake. And so this is a tragedy. Continue to pray for this case. We just now took it to the Maine Supreme Court. It's a significant case that will not only affect this family and especially this girl and the mother and the father, but also many others in other situations that are very similar. For more information, visit Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.